Choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. Only Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards. No other lender comes close to that level of client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives our clients a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online in minutes. No one else has anything like it. And our people, each one of our 17,000-plus team members throughout Detroit, Cleveland, and Phoenix, provides absolute client satisfaction each and every day. So why would you go anywhere else to get your mortgage? Go to America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Heavy snow and strong winds already pounding Chicago and Detroit, where major public school systems opted not to open today. Chicago getting ready for its biggest snow since 2015. It began falling overnight. More than 25 million Americans under winter weather alerts of some time as an Arctic front pushes from Montana through the Midwest. Chicago could get up to 14 inches of snow by late Friday, plus 4 more inches through the weekend. Over in South Korea,
opening ceremonies for the 23rd Winter Olympics kicked off in Pyeongchang, South Korea at 8 p.m. local time, between 14 and 17 hours ahead of U.S. time, with messages of peace and art in the colorful show. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un's sister, Kim Yo-jung, arrived by private jet shaking hands with the president of South Korea. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence avoided the North Korean encounter by making a brief appearance at the ceremonies to support Team USA, who has 244 athletes competing in this year's games. This is Jennifer Breeden.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
And participating KFC's only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson visiting the Middle East to talk about the rebuilding efforts in Iraq, as well as several meetings with the U.S. coalition forces battling ISIS in Iraq and Syria. The Tillerson stops will include Jordan, Kuwait, Egypt, and Lebanon. This trip comes as the U.N. fails to pass a temporary ceasefire in Syria offered by the United States. When the Russian delegation said any Syrian ceasefire was not currently possible or safe. President Trump calling out Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia on Twitter for having extensive contact with a Russian lobbyist to try to make contact with Christopher Steele of the UK, who authored the Trump dossier. Republican Senator Marco Rubio saying the contact was completely disclosed to other members of Congress and didn't affect any of the Senate Intelligence Committee hearings. Sources say it's common for Intelligence Committee members to want to contact dossier authors for interviews or to gather other information that may question the submitted dossier. Both senators sit on that committee. Twitter confirms 49 accounts were run by the Russian misinformation internet campaigns during Brexit issues as Great Britain votes to separate from the European Union. The social media giant claiming that the Russian Internet Research Agency leads various misinformation campaigns, posting 942 tweets in regards to Brexit. This Russian social media activity being similar to the claims of Russian meddling during the 2016 U.S. presidential election, and now George Soros reportedly paying for a campaign to reverse that Brexit vote. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We have with us today Brian Kilmeade. He is the co-host of Fox and Friends on Fox News and the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. Brian Kilmeade, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the Battle of New Orleans, which this book discusses in depth, was part of the War of 1812 between the United States and Great Britain. So tell us a little bit about this conflict between the U.S. and the U.K., which was not, in this case, based on the president's tweets.
I mean, our whole history is a country that never should have happened, that never should have survived. And this was another example of that. I mean, we find a way to beat the world's only superpower once, and we did it with the help of France. And since that time, the British wanted to send a message to all their other colonies, don't try what they did, and we want revenge, you won't get revenge. And it really came to fruition in 1812. We asked for the war, but we really had no choice. They were taking our guys off ships, taking our merchant boats off ships. They never really abided by the treaty that ended the Revolutionary War. They stayed in the Midwest. Kept on rattling settlers by paying off these Native American Indian tribes. So there was a war waiting to happen. But when America stepped up, they found themselves overmatched in every way, on the seas and on land. And we were getting routed until things turned around in the Battle of Baltimore and Andrew Jackson got involved, thanks to the future President James Monroe and the current President James Madison. And you just had a guy who was orphaned at 13, born in America, bled red, white, and blue, hated the British. And he wanted revenge. They killed both his brothers. They both died during the war. And his mom died during the war. He blamed the British for that. And he wanted revenge. And this was his opportunity. But no one thought Andrew Jackson really was much. He never had formal military training. Never really was one of the establishment. But when he got involved, he was a motivator of men. When he got involved, he was a leader, willing to take on the fight in front. And he won a series of battles. But with 1,400 guys taking on 10,000 in New Orleans, no one gave him a shot. But in 3 weeks, he put together a very diverse army of free blacks at the time, of pirates, sharpshooters from Tennessee and Kentucky, and regular militia, kept 5,000 guys, and he destroyed a 10,000-man army in under an hour. And that's what we try to detail in the book, the strategy he used and the way he did it.
That's amazing that he would succeed under those odds, which were clearly against him, fighting what was the premier military power in the world. Now this was also the war in which both Washington, D.C. was burned by the British, and the one in which the British bombarded Fort McHenry and inspired the writing of the words to the national anthem.
100%. And you're looking at a country that was absolutely on the brink. And what they did is what we always do. When we were divided, the northern states didn't want to participate in the war. But once they burned Washington and we saw how completely we were being destroyed, America, including Francis Scott Key, who was against the war, rallied. They said, okay, enough. Put everything aside. We got to fight. And the spirit of 76 came back. And you watch a country wake up and start fighting and adjusting. And the British never adjusted. They fought the same way where they beat Napoleon as they did when they tried to beat us. And we were relentless. We had nowhere to go. The British had a long way to go. A lot of them wanted to be home. And we won at Horseshoe Bend, won in Pensacola, won in Mobile. All of a sudden, things started to change. And in New Orleans, by the time they showed up, they expected to go right through our militia because they had this huge force. But we didn't give them one. Jackson didn't give them one peaceful night in our soil. The first day they landed, as soon as night fell, a barge ship started shooting cannons into their encampment, and Jackson's men came flying down the hill with axes. and started chopping up the British, 500 of them. And they said, wait a second, we were going through these guys like paper mache. What happened? Well, Jackson happened. And Jackson had no choice. He's going to die, win or die trying. He told people in New Orleans, I don't care what your loyalties are. You're an American now. And if, by the way, if you think that we're going to let the British get this city, we'll burn it down first. So I need everybody who can fight with a gun to report to duty. And he rallied, he drilled, he had parades, and in 3 weeks we were ready to go. And he had a great plan, build a mini wall, redig a canal that was there, the Rodriguez Canal, fill it up with water, and then challenge them to go past us and build a berm behind in case they did penetrate that. The British were never able to figure it out, killed two generals, seven colonels, and 70-plus officers rapidly. And the British infantry basically decided we're going to be dead or play dead, and they had to surrender. And even though the war had officially ended earlier, right before Christmas, word didn't get, you know, there was no Twitter. I know the president would have really suffered then. So there's no way to tell anybody. So Jackson thought they were going to beat him regardless and hold on to it. He wrote about that. People say, I didn't have to fight the battle of New Orleans. The British were going to hold New Orleans. They weren't going to let us grow past the Mississippi. They feared that thing called democracy. They hated the freedom. They hated the idea of elections. It's not good if you're a king or a queen. But the thing is, it all worked. People kept coming. We kept growing. And our enemy became our ally in Britain. Up until yesterday, when the president was tweeting with Theresa May.
Well, things change over the course of time, but perhaps we can patch things over. Really, an amazing military leader, Andrew Jackson, and an amazing political leader as he evolved. We're speaking with Brian Kilmeade. He is the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. What did this battle do for Andrew Jackson's stature and image in the country?
Great question. He became the most famous man in America. And everyone, when he left the Hermitage, he was famous locally. When he came back, he was a national hero. And when word came back to Washington that we had won the war, we had won the battle, at the same time knocking on his door with these people from the Hartford Convention, the northern states, saying, we'd like to secede. And they said, well, you're not allowed to secede. We won't hear of it. And by the way, we just won the war. We just won the battle. The war was a draw. We paid a tremendous price, but we never would be invaded again. And they credited Jackson for overcoming the odds. They wrote songs about him. They wrote books about him. And he decided, I'm going to go run for president. I've already been a congressman, a senator, a lawyer, an attorney general, now a militia general. What is left for me? And at 13, he was orphaned with no one. Instead of being a criminal or a vagrant, like some people, he decided to test the American dream. He said, everyone's going to know my name. And they did. Some hated him. Some loved him. Some still debate him today. A lot of Native Americans don't like him. A lot of historians do. Others say he's got to get off the 20. But he's a consequential president. FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln cited him as their model. And you have President Trump, who has the picture hanging in the Oval Office.
We're speaking with Brian Kilmeade, the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. And as you mentioned, he is a controversial figure today, though that's true of many of the great leaders of his era who were just living in the context of a very different historical time. You know, especially as president, how was he viewed in his own time, especially compared to those that came before him in the White House?
He legitimately won three elections. It was thrown into the House, and John Quincy Adams ended up being the consensus candidate. Then he won the next two pretty easily. What he was is very popular because he didn't go to Washington. He actually went into the people. He was the first ever campaign, the first Democrat, too. And he was the first to go and look at the big banks and say, I don't think you're working for the people. A lot of people have a problem with that. Also, he went to lawmakers, and he would threaten them, and he'd corral them and harangue them. And the same thing Trump does today. So he was the first to really assert the authority of the presidency instead of being a co-equal branch. He said, no, I'm the man. And that's the way he approached things. He also surrounded himself with his family. That aggravated people. They said, wait a second. We got experienced people here. What are you bringing your niece with you? You know, his wife died after the election because of the stress of the election.
Right.
They say she had a heart attack. And he was extremely attached to her, almost Nancy Reagan or Ronald Reagan-like. So he surrounded himself with his family. That bothered him. He also criticized his predecessors. Now, when Trump did that, what's the big deal? Well, when he did that, he was criticizing the founding fathers. So think about the audacity there.
Brian Kilmeade. He is the author of Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Thanks, Derek.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Want an easy way to brighten up your day? Get beautiful new window fashions from the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America, Budget Blinds. It's easy, because Budget Blinds does it all for you, with style and service for every budget. We're your neighborhood experts, and we bring the showroom right to your home, then expertly measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. Right now, we make it easier than ever with savings up to $500 on select window coverings. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. See for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Call and get savings up to $500, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, or go online to budgetblinds.com. Brighten up your day the easy way. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. Almost no one is safe from periods of lost income during their working years. In fact, these income losses are so common that 96% of Americans experience four or more of these income shocks, and 60% experience being out of work for a year or more by the time they reach age 70. Ted Beck, President and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education.
Well, one of the best ways to plan ahead to make sure that you're not as vulnerable to income shocks or surprise expenses ranging from your car breaks down, something happens to your house, a medical bill, is really to build an emergency savings account. It's okay to start with $500 or set a goal for $1,000. Over time, you will build that up and you'll be much less at risk from those surprises going forward.
For more information on how to prepare yourself for unexpected expenses, visit smartaboutmoney.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're very pleased to have on the program today legendary writer Anne Rice, her son Christopher Rice. Their new book is Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. Anne and Christopher, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Delighted.
Thanks for having
us.
Well, let's just get this out of the way right at the beginning. How many Mummy Dearest jokes have you had to put up with talking about this book?
None. You're the first.
Wow.
You're the first.
Yeah, yeah, really. I was now that
Mummy
I think
dearest.
About it.
Mummy
wow. Dearest.
That's cool. Why didn't we think
maybe
that?
One blog used it. I think now that I think about it, I think maybe one person. But I think you're the first, Eric.
Well, I am cool. Very honored to have a broadcast exclusive on that. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So tell us about this is a sequel to the book The Mummy. What is the plot set up here in Ramses the Damned? This it takes place in 1914 in Edwardian times. What are we looking at?
Well, Ramses is a pharaoh who discovered the elixir of life in ancient times. He drank it, he's immortal, and he's resurrected in 1914 by an archaeologist. He had retreated to his tomb, mourning for his love, Cleopatra. And she's dead when he entombs himself. He's resurrected, and he finds himself in the world of London in 1914. He comes alive in a residence, actually, where all these artifacts have been put, including his mummy. And he wakes up witnessing an attempted murder. He stops it and saves this beautiful young woman, Julie Stratford, from being viciously murdered by her cousin, Henry, and falls in love with her. And she shows him the world of 1914. However, at the heart of that novel, he finds the body of Cleopatra in the Cairo Museum, and he makes the terrible mistake of pouring the elixir of life all over the body. And Cleopatra comes back. It's a disaster. That novel ends with a cliffhanger. They think she's destroyed. We know she's alive. And the new novel opens with Cleopatra searching for Ramses and Julie, and we don't know what her motives are. And we also meet other immortals, particularly an African queen, Bektaten, who once ruled a great African kingdom that's now been swallowed by the jungles of equatorial Africa. And Bektaten is the one who actually discovered the elixir. And she's far more ancient even than Ramses. And we get to do her story and her people, and many things happen. In fact, you know, one of the things Christopher brought to this was a lot of exciting plotting and the garden party.
There's a garden party from hell. Yes, that was my cue. There's a garden
exactly.
party from hell.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was also in the DNA of the original book. I think I should give Mom some credit. The original book really is an adventurous romantic romp that has its creative inspirations in the works of H. Rider Haggard and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah.
And so it was a natural fit for me to come in on this. And I think, you know, it was a great place for us to start collaborating on a book because the world was already built, and the responsibility was to satisfy those fans of the early book and to also tell a unique and interesting standalone story that continues the universe. And I think what that meant is there was just less for us to argue about. You know, I think if two independent-minded writers are inventing something out of whole cloth, there's a lot more fighting around the table with the notepads than we necessarily had to do on this.
I would find it difficult to go through a long creative process with my mom or my dad or anyone close in my family that I wasn't already used to doing that with. What was the process like for writing Ramses the Damned? What is your relationship on a creative level like?
Well, every collaboration is different. You know, and I think what we figured out is the method that works for us. And we sat down together, hammered out the beats of the story, and then I went off to write a complete draft and brought it back to Mom and gave her the time to really sort of tear it apart. Not tear it apart, but really, you know, it was not meant to be the final book. It was meant to be the first draft. And so it allowed Mom to give a lot of her input and to shape the story, particularly in ways where I had spun off in a tonal direction that maybe wasn't faithful to the world of the first book. And it was really great. And then I went off and wrote another draft, and then Mom did the final pass to make sure it had the atmosphere and the tone and the feel of an Anne Rice novel and throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our ultimate goal was to make sure that nobody could look at the book and say, Anne wrote this chapter and Christopher wrote that chapter. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be a vivid and seamless thing. And based on the early responses, it sounds like it is for most people.
We're speaking with Anne Rice and Christopher Rice. They're the co-authors of Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. You know, in the 1920s, when the contents of the Egyptian tombs were discovered and made widely known in the West, there were decades of fascination that obviously resound to this day around the culture of that time and place. How do you think that has changed when the nature of what we hear about what comes out of Egypt and the Middle East today is so different?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, when I was growing up in the early 40s, we went to the museum to see an entire exhibit in New Orleans of Egyptian artifacts. It was traveling through, and I saw my first mummy in a mummy case when I was just a little girl. And it really was very romantic and mysterious, the whole idea of ancient Egypt. And I grew up reading stories of how Carter had discovered Tutankhamun's tomb, all of that. Today, right now, there are actually great discoveries going on in Egypt, but everybody's mind is on conflict. And we, you know, it's like I wanted to take Christopher when he was a child to Egypt so he could begin his travels of the world in that place, and there was never a safe time to go. We just have had so much conflict, so much strife, we could never make that journey. So I would say today that in many, many quarters, it's still exciting, it's still interesting, people are still bewitched by ancient Egypt, enchanted by it, but a lot of people in the world are not. It's nothing as widely known as it was in the 20s.
You know, in terms of how people see Egypt in relationship to these books, and I think one of the things that was so compelling to me about the universe is that Mom really went and took an old 1950s horror movie trope, and she made, as she had done with vampires, she made the character that is traditionally the monster who just stalks around terrifying white people, she made him the hero, and she made him brilliant and charismatic, and when the shroud came off, he was the center of the story and the soul of the story in a way that nobody had really done with the mummy legend before. And I think that gets to the idea that there is something of enormous value in the history of the ancient world to all of us, as opposed to that sort of, I don't know, conservative way of seeing it as a corrupting force or something that's going to pollute the West. You know, it really is a sense that this is the seat of great wisdom and great insight, and that these immortal characters, even Cleopatra, as she finds in our version, is reawakened against her will and so has this sort of early monstrous form. She finds her way in this book, I don't want to give too much away, and also becomes a vessel of great wisdom for the people around her, because I think that is sort of the Anne Rice stamp, is what does our world look like, or what does 1914 or 1984 look like through the eyes of someone who has lived forever? Mm-hmm. And wow. And that's the joy of slipping into a book. And I, you know, my job was to contribute to that on this project.
The characters and worlds that you create are always wonderful and always fascinating. Anne Rice and Christopher Rice, they're the authors of Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra. Thank you so much for writing this, and thank you for being with us on Now It's the News.
Thanks for having us.
It's really been a pleasure.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Get to the chopper!
Hi, this is Ed Rollins. President Trump has demanded an end to chain migration and the visa lottery, along with securing our borders by building the wall. But many in Washington refuse to support President Trump's immigration policies, including the wall. Tell Congress it is time to fully support President Trump's immigration policies and fully fund the wall. Congress was given a mandate by the American people, and we need to send a message that we are going to support President Trump all the way through 2020, and we demand they do the same. Join me in demanding Congress support President Trump's immigration policies and fund the wall. Call now.
President Trump is demanding an end to chain migration, an end to the visa lottery, and the building of a wall to secure our southern border. Please pick up the phone now and call 800-334-0730. If you support President Trump's immigration policies, 800-334-0730. Call 800-334-0730.
Paid for by Great America PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. GreatAmericaPAC.com.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Without fanfare, the president signs a bill on Friday morning to fund the federal government for two more years and bring a shutdown to a close.
The president signing the bill that ended the brief shutdown after the U.S. House passed it just before dawn in Washington and a few hours after the Senate finally passed it, following Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul's maneuvers to try to hold up that vote because of his concerns about its impact on the federal deficit.
If you were against President Obama's deficits and now you're for the Republican deficits, isn't that the very definition of hypocrisy?
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter resigning this week after allegations of domestic abuse by two former wives, the president saying at the White House.
Well, we wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyn. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it, and I love it because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days. So you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now,
800-399-6392. And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. And today, we have with us Alex Palmer. He's the author of the new Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things. Alex, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Derek.
So, with so much weird stuff going on in the news these days, why did you feel compelled to compile this additional weird compendium of things?
I know, right? We can just look at the headlines, and that's probably enough weirdness for our week.
And we document many of them here on Now It's the News.
I understand that. Yeah. So with this book, it was. I've always kind of liked these sort of learning sort of surprising things about. Maybe it's a counterintuitive fact about something you think you know, or just something you use every day, and then you realize there's some other aspect to it or a history to it that you didn't know. And I've always sort of liked that, but. You know, sort of you'd be at like a party or something and a friend will tell you, it's impossible to tickle yourself. You have no idea. You try it and then realize it actually is. Or, deer actually kill more people each year than airplane crashes. Sort of some
wow.
odd things like that. Yeah. And so sort of being interested in those, I decided it would be really fun to sort of have it in a kind of organized, almost sort of bizarro encyclopedia where you could go into any letter, go into a different subject, and find some odd facts that are, organized in sort of a fun way that you can sort of just pick it up and open it up to any page and find something interesting and surprising.
Well, I know there's still a huge demand for it because my 12-year-old daughter is constantly checking out of the library, the books of strange facts or the Guinness Book of World Records or things
right.
like that. So this seems very much in that same line. I do want to go back to what you just mentioned, though, in terms of the deer killing people. Do we need to be on the alert for a deer crime wave, or is that automobile
yeah.
accidents, or how does that work?
Yeah, we better watch out. They might be deer on the loose everywhere. it's actually from primarily automobile accidents. There was 100 some, and then with deer, they kill several hundred people each year. That when you actually look at the statistics, it's kind of surprising. Something I don't think a lot of people are walking around with fears of deer coming at them, but airplanes certainly a lot more scary, even if less threatening.
So, you know, Bambi, you know, not so calm, not so gentle after all, beware.
Absolutely. Watch out for it.
We're speaking with Alex Palmer, the author of Weirdopedia. Alex, to you, what was the most fascinating weird fact? I know there must be a plethora of them as contained in this book, but what stood out to you the most in the process of researching this?
Yeah, well, you know, so it was kind of a mix of different facts. Some of them I liked because they really were useful in my own life, things that I would have no idea about, something like, you know, toothpaste can remove ink stains from clothes. It's something I never knew, and then you tried it, and you're like, oh, that's great. That really worked. And then there's, you know, things that are just sort of, you know, handy like that, or that make you think about things a little differently. Like, apparently they've actually done studies in the first, you go into a public restroom, and the first bathroom, the first stall, is actually the one least likely to be used. It's also going to have the least amount of, bacteria and worries about that. So that's the, you know, you just start, like, using that one. Instead.
Now, have they done psychological studies as to why people tend to avoid the first stall in the bathroom?
That's a great question. That's probably a whole other study. I don't know if they've done any follow-up. But I think that would be, absolutely, that'll be the sequel. that's great. But I think the one that really kind of stood out as sort of a really kind of shocking or strange fact was this, I found out about this wasp, this Costa Rican wasp that would actually plant its eggs in this orb spider, and then they end up sort of, it paralyzes the spider, and then when it 2 weeks later, these things sort of take control of the spider and turn into this sort of zombie that ends up creating a kind of bizarre web that they end up using as their own nest. So, and then they take out the spider. So it was sort of a shocking to sort of hear that Mother Nature could be, you know, quite so, have such a dark sense of humor, I guess, and be so sort of bleak.
And for those who put off the ideas of zombie attacks as merely a figment of the imagination or science fiction, it does actually take place, apparently.
Yeah, and that's sort of some of the things that kind of doing this research, you sort of discover some of the things that we sort of imagine these, you know, fantasy ideas. If you go, you know, a little further into the animal kingdom, these things are actually, some of these are actually happening.
We're speaking with Alex Palmer. He's the author of Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things. How on earth did you get into collecting facts like this? What inspired you? What's your background on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm a journalist. I primarily write like business and travel writing and things like that. But as I've been doing that, I've always sort of had an interest in kind of more of a, you know, quirky history and looking at sort of behind the scenes of these subjects that I'm writing about. And a lot of these times, these things can't sort of become part of the story. You have to dig a little, you know, you don't have the opportunity to sort of publish these. And so we started sort of collecting them and had, you know, kind of a handful of interesting facts and ideas, and then it sort of developed into kind of a broader, let's you know, look at a number of different subjects. So with the book, we were able to have, you know, an entire chapter on food and drink and just looking at those, a whole chapter on, you know, work and odd things, you know, facts about taking breaks and, you know, the value of, like, napping and how that actually, folks who nap during a day actually have a 37% lower chance of having a heart attack. So kind of odd things like that. And it ends up, it was a sort of an opportunity to just kind of put it all into a compendium where you can have this sort of convenient bathroom reader that just open to, you know, any page, bring it to a party or, you know, have something sort of handy. And then also looks at sort of, you know, the natural world with, as I mentioned, sort of the insects. And then there's also, you know, a whole thing on animals and just nature in general. And sort of able to just sort of cover a broad range. But the research part of it was definitely kind of a, you know, sort of a multi-pronged approach of just as I would, you know, I would go to the library, go to our, you know, New York Public Library and dig into the stacks there on it. If I knew a specific topic I wanted to learn a little bit more about, say, like, you know, unusual types of apples, there's hundreds of different types, you know, like Granny Smith and that sort of thing. But there's a couple, you know, even more, you know, bizarre ones. There's a whole list in the book of some of these names. So something, you know, sort of very specific like that. Other times it would be just seeing the headlines of, you know, of the New York Times, and something would sort of catch your eye. And, you know, pulling some specific fact out of that that really stood out and being able to turn that into kind of a standalone kind of eyebrow raiser.
Well, one of the main focuses here on Now It's the News is politics, voting law. Are there any strange facts that stand out to you in any of those subjects, areas of human endeavor in particular?
Yeah, well, one of the facts in the book is that I think it was since 1900 they've tracked and through these political scientists have determined that it was always the most optimistic candidate that won the presidency. Wow. So it was pretty consistent through the whole history. So how exactly they decided that, you have to kind of like determine who qualified for the most optimistic. You probably have to dig into the research a little bit more. But that one stands out as far as a political sort of fact.
The more negative candidate didn't tend to fare as well, in other words.
No, yeah, at least yeah, according to these political scientists now.
We've been speaking with Alex Palmer, the author of Weirdopedia, the ultimate book of surprising, strange, and incredibly bizarre facts about supposedly ordinary things. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Go to NowIt'sTheNews.com. Get to the chopper!
More coming up next. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Investors, you know the age-old rule about diversifying your investments. That's because they all take turns rising and falling. And with the stock market long-tooth rally, we are all talking about not if, but when it falls. So what might be a good hedge? Well, gold has been the choice of many investors since forever. And furthermore, if you want to diversify your IRA, you need a trustee that not only allows it, but has experience, has been offering gold in IRAs for years, also silver. Check out Gold Goliath. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Ask them the tough questions. Call them at 800-517-3195 to get the information you need to make an informed decision about adding gold or silver to your IRA. Call Gold Goliath at 800-517-3195. That's 800-517-3195 or online at goldgoliath.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. I have in front of me a bright yellow book, the title of which is Encyclopedia Paranoica. It has a bright red exclamation point. It has been written by Henry Beard and Christopher Cerf, who we have on the line with us here. It is subtitled The Indispensable Guide to Everyone and Everything You Should Be Afraid of or Worried About. Christopher Cerf, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Derek.
My first question to you is, what's that? What's all around me? What should I be afraid of? What's going
just
on?
Just about everything. Just about everything, unfortunately. And many things that you thought were safe, are not. And many things that you knew were dangerous, we tell you about, too.
What do you think I should be afraid of the most right now in this moment, sitting here as I am talking to you? I mean, are there germs on the microphone?
Yes, there are germs on the microphone. Are you the only person who used that microphone?
I'm afraid I'm not, no.
And, of course, you can't wash the microphone to disinfect it because it's electronic, and that would be bad for it.
That's right.
So there's really no way out there. Probably you have a coffee mug there or something like that. And
yeah.
I don't know whether how often you take that home and clean it out with disinfectant.
And as we speak, I'm looking out the window. It's windy. It's threatening rain. There might be a storm, possibly a hurricane. I'm not sure. There's just one thing after another. How do we deal with this? How does your book help us process this? Is it just basically a warning book? Should we run around in circles? What's the best solution here? Pulling our hair out, which direction do we go?
Well, unfortunately, I think what you'll find if you check out all the cross-references in our book is that there really is no way out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether we're really providing a service there for, but there are small things you can do to avoid one hazard or another. For example, autumn leaves. People have been going out to look at autumn leaves over the last few weeks. They shouldn't have done that because, your car, if you drove to see them, has a catalytic converter that's very hot and can set the leaves on fire when you drive over them. So if we saved a few people's lives because they read that entry, they're probably going to end up dying from some other horrible thing, but We try to help you at least in the short run. That's our goal.
Well, much appreciated. We're speaking with Christopher Cerf, the co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica. And I'll just mention at this point that it was just this last weekend in my part of the world that virtually all the leaves fell off the trees. So catalytic converters, it's got to be very dangerous, even having driven in this morning to the studio.
Well, it was, but if you had taken the train, many trained people will tell you, and of course we dutifully report this in the Encyclopedia Paranoica, that leaves on the rails make for very slippery rails and cause frequent derailments. So, staying at home is probably the best idea, but of course home is not really a safe place either.
It's a very dangerous place. A couple of years back I broke my leg, climbing up on a ladder right outside.
Well, that of course, that goes without saying, but just simple things like, if you have, a satchel, or if a woman has a purse and they put it on the ground and then they bring it into the house and put it on the kitchen counter, that's bringing all kinds of germs onto the counter that then gets onto your food. And of course, you can't do anything about that. You can't even wash your hands.
No, you can't because
there's a woman that we quote. Everything in our book is quoted from experts, by the way. We didn't make any of this up.
Right.
But there is an expert who says that washing your hands too frequently causes little cracks to form in your skin, and then bacteria get into those cracks, so you're damned if you wash your hands, and you're damned if you don't.
Christopher Cerf, are we allowed to enjoy life at all, or is that in itself a dangerous activity, trying to enjoy life and pretending like everything around us at any moment mightn't possibly kill us?
Well, I suppose you could blind yourself if you want, Derek, and I'm sorry that blind is a word I shouldn't use. It's offensive to many people, but you can, I guess, try to get through life that way. But, of course, if you drink too much or do various other things that you think are enjoyable, they themselves may be dangerous. But, of course, the asteroid Apophis is headed toward the Earth anyway and is probably or could very well crack into it in a few years. That is, if the Mayan calendar ends, doesn't occur first on December 21st.
Well, let's address that, because we are coming up on the end of the Mayan calendar. Could that be the paranoid advent that trumps all the other paranoid instances that you outline in your book? And is that why you came out with the book when you did?
Totally why we came out, because obviously if all the other warnings are useless after December 21st, if that's the end, but we wanted to get the book there to you so that you could fail to enjoy the month in between, you know. But, of course, many people are now kind of hedging their bet and saying that the Mayan calendar did not account for leap year. So even if we get by December 21st, we're not out of the woods with that one yet.
So we may have a couple of additional years of paranoia, even if the Mayan calendar is incorrect.
Oh, for sure. And then there's Comet Catalina, which is on a collision course with the Earth, quite possibly also. But that's coming after Apophis, so you don't have to worry about Catalina until Apophis goes by safely, if it does.
Well, that's a relief. We're speaking with Christopher Cerf, the co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica. I'm a parent. Christopher, what paranoia is it most important that I engage in on behalf of my children?
Well, I mean, the list is very, very long, Derek, but one thing that immediately occurs to me at the holiday season, a couple of things. One is that laughing or crying while eating is a choking hazard.
Right.
So that's true for adults, too, but you need to teach your children never to laugh or cry while they're eating. And I recommend that you make a point of saying nothing really funny or anything really sad
at those
times.
I'm on the verge of choking right now, just in reaction to your response.
Of course, yes. And depression, isn't good for your health either. So you have to be careful. Mall Santas. I must warn you about Santas, for sure.
Right.
There's a man named Nathan Grills who wrote an article in the British Medical Journal pointing out the danger that mall Santas are disease carriers. Of course, because little Johnny sits on the knee of Santa and he coughs into the beard, and then other kids sit on the lap and, you know, there you go.
Santa, by his very nature, is basically a disease vector.
He is a disease vector. That is well put, and I see that you've been studying your Encyclopedia Paranoica.
Absolutely.
Also, the acting Surgeon General a few years ago warned about Santa's girth. He thought he was setting a very bad example, you know, to overweight kids, and that he should be portrayed as skinny and well, you know, really in good shape. I haven't noticed that trend going forward too well yet, but we can always hope.
That's true. Well, of course, if Santa were to exercise adequately, he might overdo it and potentially cause some sports injury to himself.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
My gosh, you know a lot about this already. Exercise is one of the many things, almost everything in the book, that where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you don't get enough exercise, of course, you know, you risk all kinds of things like heart attacks and obesity and all.
Right.
But, of course, if you haven't gotten exercise and then you plunge into it, that very strenuous work that you're doing on top of having done nothing is even more dangerous than just sitting there. But sitting is bad, too.
In fact, there
was a study done that shows that if you sit for many hours, your life is shortened.
It's true.
So the people that did that study recommend that you stand up even at work, and that you get a stand-up desk. But, of course, people have discovered that productivity goes way down when you're standing up all day. It's not a very good way to concentrate and comfortably work on your computer, though somebody has invented a stationary bicycle that's part of your desk, so you can sit there and exercise while you're writing. But, of course, that brings you back to that whole danger of overdoing it and dying of a heart attack. I'm so sorry to have to tell your listeners all these terribly scary things.
Christopher Cerf, co-author of Encyclopedia Paranoica, how do we live?
Well, I'm not sure we do. that's the tragic thing.
That's true. We're all cruising towards death eventually here. So really, yours is kind of a book, essentially, in its root, filled with a fair amount of existential angst here.
Oh, well, you bet.
I've referred to it and spent many nights late into the night unable to sleep reading Encyclopedia Paranoica. Its author or co-author Christopher Cerf has been with us today. Christopher, thank you so much. I think
so too. Thank you, Derek.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. Go to nowitsthenews.com for more information or follow me at Now It's the News. Until next week, I'm Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. Almost no one is safe from periods of lost income during their working years. In fact, these income losses are so common that 96% of Americans experience four or more of these income shocks, and 60% experience being out of work for a year or more by the time they reach age 70. Ted Beck, President and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education.
Well, one of the best ways to plan ahead to make sure that you're not as vulnerable to income shocks or surprise expenses ranging from your car breaks down, something happens to your house, a medical bill, is really to build an emergency savings account. It's okay to start with $500 or set a goal for $1,000. Over time, you will build that up and you'll be much less at risk from those surprises going forward.
For more information on how to prepare yourself for unexpected expenses, visit smartaboutmoney.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Without fanfare, the president signs a bill on Friday morning to fund the federal government for two more years and bring a shutdown to a close.
The president signing the bill that ended the brief shutdown after the U.S. House passed it just before dawn in Washington and a few hours after the Senate finally passed it, following Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul's maneuvers to try to hold up that vote because of his concerns about its impact on the federal deficit.
If you were against President Obama's deficit, and now you're for the Republican deficits. Isn't that the very definition of hypocrisy?
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter resigning this week after allegations of domestic abuse by two former wives, the president saying at the White House.
Well, we wish him well. He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself in the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. Geico will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely, abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, send Yeti on over. Geico is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
There are reports that billionaire George Soros is pumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into a campaign looking to reverse British voters' 2016 decision to leave the European Union. The Daily Telegraph saying that Soros has given $560,000 to the anti-Brexit Best for Britain campaign. He also hosted big money donors at his London home, part of the group's goal to raise support to nix the implementation of the Brexit referendum. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky sets the stage for the upper chamber next week to begin consideration of legislation protecting protecting the more than 800,000 recipients of DACA from deportation. His action setting up a Monday evening procedural vote and is consistent with an agreement made last month with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York that the upper chamber would consider DACA proposals during the month of February as long as the government remained open. The program expires March 5th. McConnell saying the Senate will vote on any proposal that garners 60 votes. And parts of the Midwest being pounded with snow, Chicago could see 14 inches. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The president plans to propose lowering prescription drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries by allowing them to share in rebates that drug companies pay to insurers and middlemen. That's according to an administration official. Companies now pay rebates to insurers and pharmacy benefit managers to help their medications gain a bigger slice of the market. Insurers apply savings from rebates to keep premiums more manageable. Under this proposal, seniors covered by Medicare's Part D prescription benefit would be able to share in those same rebates for individual drugs.